Flashbacks. Past players. Past legends.
After spending a couple of weeks back from the busted collarbone, and I thought. So I walked over the road and saw Wally and said, look, I think I might be done, Wally. And he said, yeah, look, well, I'll do what I can for you. And I walked out into the car park and James Fantasia's in his car just hovering around because he was at Woodville already. Yep. And they train Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so I saw, so he happened to be just popping through this day and still mates with a lot of us, of course, and still is to this day, and he runs the joint. So, but he said, look, I'll let Lighty know. And so I thought he was joking. And by the time I got home, Johnny Reed had already rung my home and cut a long story short, signed, sealed and delivered by the Friday, played on the Saturday in the reserves for Woodville, and off we went. So, yeah, a couple of weeks after that, I think it was Gary Williams who was playing fullback for Woodville at the time, popped his hamstring, and Blighty said, look, you'd be prepared to play defensive, you know, play back. And I said, mate, I'll play anywhere if I get a league game. So, and the rest is history. I went and slotted into fullback and had a really good finish to 86. We played in that final series, and I played full back and stood some great full forwards. And, yeah, we did okay. Should have gone on, of course, and won it, but that didn't happen. Yeah. We were just too good, and they went back to back, 85, 86. So
I do want to ask you, so the elimination final, Nord
Jim Teal.
The late Jim Teal.
That was tough.
Yeah, how did you and Fana sort of cope with that? So it was a little bit different for you. I'm trying to see where you were at because, you know, I've spoken obviously to quite a few of the Nord guys, and they said a few of the older guys who were close to Jim were just an absolute mess. And basically, we were not. And Barmy admits if he had his time again, he would totally do that whole thing differently. He said he was very open. He said he didn't do it well.
How do you do it?
Exactly.
You know, that's uncharted waters.
Well, Port did it with Anthony Williams, and he said, I couldn't do it that way, but he does regret that day. But it would have been – so with the Nord guys went in front of the scoreboard.
I remember that, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure you would have been looking over with Fana sort of thinking, geez, you know.
So I remember – so both James and I, we were – you know, discussing during the week, you know, can we wear armbands, black armbands or something? We just didn't know what to do. And I just vaguely remember, I think Blighty said, look, we're not individuals. We're a team. And it's sort of club policies, I suppose, when they do that sort of stuff. So I think Blighty just thought it's best for the Norwood Footy Club to do their thing. And we've got to respect that. So I don't think. I mean, I know James and I both stood there in for that minute silence together, and we were both. It was really difficult. It was really difficult. And then once the siren sounded, we sort of got on with it. And I remember I stood Peter Lachlan that day, and I know he was. I felt for him because he was probably Jimmy's best mate or thereabouts. Yeah. You know, and that was a tough day, and. You know, it was a terrible, terrible accident, of course. And, sadly missed Jim, that's for sure.
So let's go to the next week. Incredible crowd. You know, all of a sudden, Woodville's everyone's second side. Everyone's jumped aboard the Woodville bus. So probably that and the Escort Cup game were similar, 30-odd thousand, and there way more people barracking for Woodville. Describe those couple of games. It was pretty remarkable. Look,
it was the whole build-up. Like, I think round 10, Woodville was still on the bottom of the ladder. So it just turned on a dime. And I think the record shows, and Malcolm, you check this, I think out of the last 13 games, I think we won 11 of them.
Yes, 11,
Something like that. And we were winning games from losing, you know, impossible positions, like, you know, 7-8 goals down and still winning. And so this sort of stuff, this belief just, you know, grew and grew within the group. And, you know, I was lucky enough to jump on board as it was just turning. And I could sense this you know, I could sense this club was on the move. The vibe and the passion around the group was just incredible, which is what you need to win premierships. And you know when you've got a group that's single-minded. And you know, unfortunately, we didn't go the whole way, but you know, obviously that game against Port, you know, Norwood, and then we beat Norwood in the first elimination final, which is one of the powerhouses of the competition. Then we play Port Adelaide in the next week, and we beat them in an absolute cliffhanger in one of the great games.
It was a great game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an incredible game. And, you know, I was lucky to play with some great players, and none more than Stephen Nichols and these types, and you know, Kevy Harris and Ronnie Fuller and Andrew Taylor and, you know, Andrew Rogers, Richard Champion, all these fellas are all, it was just an amazing group. And it's just, you know, we weren't far off just going the old, you know, going all the way. And
well, you kicking for goal the next week against, you should have beaten Glenelg in that prelim final. You blew the last quarter. I reckon it was 2-7 or 2-8, I reckon, on memory it was.
Yeah, we, you know, I won't name names, but the blokes running into open goal.
Yeah.
25 metres out, set shots. It was very uncharacteristic, because what we'd done previously was kick all those and bury teams. And, unfortunately, the Bays always had a little bit of the wood on us, and that wasn't the first time they hurt us. And it had happened over a reasonable period of time, and they did it to us again that day. But, look, you know, at the end of the day, they were probably the best. I guess they were potentially the best team. Well, they were the best team because they won the premiership. So, but yeah, that was certainly, from my perspective, that my little window of probably as close as I got to is to playing in a grand final and possible premiership in at that level. So,
oh, I know that one eats it. You know, obviously hang around a few of those of the Woodville boys, Deado and Jack and Ronnie Fuller have always considered that was the one which got away. And
86 for sure. Yeah. And touching on what you were saying earlier in terms of the whole country got on board, like, you know, it was. There wasn't a paper in you know, wasn't a newspaper in the land that wasn't sort of, you know, hadn't got on board with it. And Blighty's got them up, and Blighty had the profile, of course, and once they jumped on, you know, it just went on and on, like we kept winning and we nearly got all the way. So it was exciting times and special times for sure.
Well, you've had the three B's: Barassi, Balm, Blight.
Yeah.
Doesn't get it much better than that.
Well, then I had Russell Ebert, of course.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
In actual funny story, I had an interview with the Could Have Been Champions a couple of years ago, and that's exactly. And I said that they thought that was quite funny. And it went through those names, and it is. I'm very lucky to have, you know, come across all those guys and played under those fellas. They're icons of our game. And. And, you know, Russell Weber was so good to me. He nurtured me and taught me a lot, and, you know, had 3 years under Russell as well. So, you know, Barmy and Blighty and great group of blokes for sure.
Was Blighty as eccentric with Woodville as he was, portrayed with the Crows and Geelong?
He could be pretty ruthless as well. But
was he innovative as far as trying different things and thinking outside the square?
Yeah. He was always thinking outside the square, whether it be trying to, create things during the week to make training interesting, or, you know, break it up in the middle of winter. We'd go and play, you know, go and do 10-pin bowling or table tennis or just go for a walk somewhere. You know, he was always thinking outside the square and wasn't scared to give you a bake when need be either, as we all know. So, Blighty was a big influence on me, of course, and gave me that opportunity at fullback, of course. So I'll be forever indebted to him for that, for sure.
And going through still then, so 87, what's the 87 season like?
So 87, after 86, we were flying. We're like around 10. I think we were second or even on top, around 10 or something or thereabouts from memory. And then the wheels just fell off. So I was guilty of that as well. My form slipped and I ended up in the reserves as well. And, and I think Blighty's probably had his – maybe he was done as well. He'd been there 5 years and his interests were – I remember his work was taking him away to Sydney and – so Johnny Reed was taking some Friday night training. So it was a factor. We just couldn't get it back on track. I think we played in the final. We made the finals, but We were bounced out in straight sets, I think. And, yeah, it was a real shame. It's hard to put your finger on why we couldn't keep it going. And I think maybe injuries to a few blokes as well, maybe. It's just one of those funny football things, how things can turn and, deteriorate very quickly. And that's exactly what happened, yeah. And then, of course, Blighty resigned at the end of 87 and 88 came around. So, yeah.
And so go through 88 and then, of course, Escort Cup. And I've loved how Deadeye and a few of those Woodville guys have made a big thing of that Escort Cup. Not downplaying, like making it, oh, well, that's the only thing we want, but just playing it the appropriate respect. And Deto was very firm on that at Russell's funeral at the wake afterwards. And I really respect that.
Yeah, look, it was, it was the whole build up to that was quite fascinating as well. Because remember, well, Russell had been sacked by Port Adelaide at the end of 87 on the back of Jack coming back. So, there was lots of Port Adelaide supporters that theoretically, cut up their memberships and blah, blah, blah. And then ironically, of course, with the Escort Cup competition, and back in those days, the Escort Cup comp was a ripping pre-season comp. And, for Port Adelaide, it meant nothing, but for the rest of us, it was a premiership. So, I remember leading into that final, the build-up was all about, Jack versus Russell. So, and it created some momentum, of course, and generated the public's interest. And we ended up with a pretty big crowd there.
Oh, it was 33, I think, on memory.
Yeah, on a Tuesday night for a trial game, unheard of. So, we had a great night that night, and had a good win, and that was Woodville's only ever piece of silverware as such. So it was pretty special. And we did have a reunion for that back in 2018. And Russell, one of the things that happened that night, Russell being Russell, so dedicated and blah, 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 he said, righto, we're not going to celebrate tonight. Everyone's got to go home to bed and we'll celebrate after we beat, whoever it is on Saturday. I think we'd have been playing West Adelaide at home or something. And so, So that was all pretty disappointing. There was like 400 or 500 people back at Woodville Oval and all chafing at the bit to see the players get presented to the hordes. And, of course, it didn't happen. And, they were all pretty disappointed, obviously. We were disappointed. Russell didn't understand it at the time. But when we had this reunion back in 2018, it was quite cathartic for Russell, because it was really the first time we'd actually been truly presented to the Woodville faithful, how many years later. So, and he said that night, that afternoon, and he was able to say his piece and apologise to us and apologise and admit that it was a mistake. He said, and as you know now, you've got to celebrate your successes as you go. Otherwise, why are you doing it? So, matter of fact, he gave me a call that night because I was one of the lads that was pulled that night all together. And he rang me and he said, Desi, that's one of the best footy functions I've ever been to. And he really loved it. So, as I spoke to some Port Adelaide blokes over the years, they said, you celebrated an Escort Cup premiership? Seriously?
Yeah.
But, there you go.
It's one of the last times, obviously, that Woodville was successful in its history. Then, as we start heading towards 1991, the merger, or 1990, the merger was obviously on the agenda, and then in 1991 it happened.
Yes, I think it was, I think we knew before the end of 1990 that we were merging. We ended up playing West Coast, in the last game at Adelaide Oval, and Alan Jakovich played that day, and I think he kicked 13 to bring up his 100 for the year. And we gave West Torrens a serious touch up that day as well. But unfortunately, we didn't make the finals that year. I think we missed out as well. Yeah. So which was disappointing. Then the merger, of course, and something like 90 to 100 blokes there on that first training session, and Barmy got the I think they all put in for the job. Including I think Andy Bennett was West Torrens, and then, of course, Russell was us. So they all put in for it. And unfortunately, for those guys, or whatever they did, they missed out. But Barmy and Brucey Winter got the gig and got the ball rolling, and it all went pretty well. So we played in the finals of 91 and got knocked out. I think, I don't know where we finished. I don't know whether we, I think we played two finals, so we must have finished in the top three, I guess. Can you? And then, of course.
Well, did you win the Foundation Cup that year as well?
I don't reckon. I couldn't be sure. I don't think so. No. We might have. I know we played in a couple of finals and we lost. I reckon we lost two finals. Whether one of those was with Woodville West Orange, I can't remember.
Yep.
But we only ever won the one that I remember.
That might have been 93. Had a fantastic year in 93.
Yeah, that's right. I think they won. I think in 93 we won everything. Yeah.
Yep.
But I was done and dusted by then, Pete.
You know, obviously that first training session with, you know, a million people obviously rolling out. How was the sorting organised with obviously Barmy and some of the coaches? Because it would have been pandemonium at one stage.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was numerous trials. I remember that. And then you'd come to training every other night, and if you were still there. And you'd look around and certain blokes weren't there. So you just assume, oh, he must have got cut. So... there was no real public stuff. It was just a gradual a burn, I think. And, you know, Barmy and Bruce just went through the numbers. And when they did it, I wouldn't know. But it was a tough job. And, you know, they probably made some good calls and some bad calls. The lads that probably could have stayed, should have stayed. And there's some of us that stayed, maybe shouldn't have stayed. So it's difficult when you've got that many numbers and a pretty short space of time to get it right. So at the end of the day, they did a good job.
And it laid the foundations, obviously, for 93.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, in the end of that 91 season, Scotty Morford ended up stranded on 99 goals too.
Well, he shouldn't have. He kicked about 10 points, I think. But, yeah, you're right, Malcolm. He couldn't quite get that 100 through the big stick. So, he was a defender turned into a full forward. Unlike myself, I went from forward to defence. So there you go. But he was a fantastic forward, there's no doubt.
Of course, from Woodville West Torrens, did you go straight out to Kilburn from there, Des?
So what happened was, so I played 91, I started 92, did all the pre-season.
That's right.
And then I had this chronic Achilles thing, which was just literally couldn't put my heel on the ground. I remember that. And then I just thought, you know what, I think I've had enough. I was 33 and just about done. So I actually retired and that was it. So the funny thing was, I did an interview with Ken Cunningham and Cornsey, I suppose, or whoever it was, or Hooksy, I can't remember now. After the interview, within half an hour, I had a phone call from Phil Gallagher, and I hope Phil doesn't mind me telling this story, but Norwood felt that I still had something to offer, which was a wonderful compliment. So I ended up having a meeting with Neil Craig at his home there in Hyde Park, and we had a chat, and then we both went away, and I had to think about it, and I just didn't feel I had the emotional energy to go again and whatnot, and so I said thanks, but no thanks, and ended up going out to the Barossa and Light League actually, and had a couple of seasons out there with Williston, and played under Jamie Thomas out there, and also the second year Terry Barch, who's a Norwood man as well. Yeah, so they were two really enjoyable years. Unfortunately, we should have won a flag, but didn't. That's just the way it goes out there. And then in my last season, I won't bore you too much. I ended up at Kilburn with Tony Roach, and that was. A close mate of mine, and probably my second cousin, Desi Hicks, was there, and he talked me into having one more year, and which I did. And
was that Desi Hicks you'd played with at Woodville?
Yes, right. Same one, yeah. Yep, and and Hicks was also at Sturt as well. So
But
we had a fantastic year, and they'd lost the grand final the year before, so they weren't far off it, and we end up, you know. So my last game was against, I think it was Port Districts. Grand final premiership on Adelaide Oval. You know what? That's not a bad way to go out. So, that was my last game, 1994. So,
All right, a couple other things. So, Des, did you meet your wife over here or from Melbourne originally? Or
Yeah, no, I'm over here, met Lorraine here.
Lorraine here, yeah.
Yeah, we met it at some a nightclub it might have been, for memory, I think it was.
No, you didn't live with, it was only with the Oaks where you dominated, Des. Yeah, we'll leave that alone.
Yes.
And in the business side, work-wise, you know, full compliment to you. You worked your way up at National. You were the manager of the branch at, in the Burnside Shopping Centre there. And don't worry, my mother-in-law still thinks you're the best bank manager there ever was.
Absolutely.
And then you went from there and worked your way up through Qantas. So full credit to you there, Des, that you ended up pretty high up at both.
Only ever had two jobs, Malcolm, a bit boring, but no, it was good. No, I had 20 years with the NAB, National Bank, and then, ended up, look, things got a bit tough on the home front with the kids, and Lorraine was a flight attendant, so travelling all, and she was international, so it got really difficult with my hours at the bank, so we had to make a decision whether I keep going with my career or she goes with hers, and basically, because of the staff travel, I said, well, you're not giving your game away. I'm supposed to. So I ended up resigning from the bank and then scored a job as a baggage handler at Qantas.
That's
so,
right.
That was fantastic. I loved it because it was just, you just went in and you just did your job and you didn't have to take anything home. So I really enjoyed that. And then sort of because I guess my finance and, background and understanding of computers and things, and I found my way into the back office and resource and planning areas of the work group. So, which I did for the last probably for 17 years of that. So I only did baggage handling for about 18 months to 2 years, I suppose. And
I do remember you doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I did the catering as well, night cleaning of the aircraft. So I did started from the very bottom, which was great.
Hey, righto, Des. So
we
finish off the same way, best players played with and hardest opponents. And you can go whichever way you like on this, mate.
Oh, gee. Have I thought about this? Let me think. I always had some difficulty against the big Rudy Mandemaker when I had to stand him out at Central Districts. And not only did I have to put up with him, but also the supporters out there. So that was pretty intimidating. And once he got up and going, the big fella, he was hard to stop. And the other problem he had, he could kick him from anywhere. And so he was certainly one of the tough ones. Of course, Scotty Hodges, I stood Scotty. He was incredibly strong and pound for pound, probably the strongest full forward I ever stood. And and then Johnny Fidge, he was a superstar as well. I remember Dale Woodhall for West Adelaide.
Westies, yep.
Tony Modra was floating around, but I didn't stand him. I mean, Robbie Lynch stood in the day he was running around. So, some great forwards. And and then what was the other question? The
best players played with. So you've got to
you've got to
go for a few different angles.
You don't have to go one or two. You can go four or five.
Go where you like.
Well, there's a standout, obviously, and there's one for Melbourne, Robbie Flower, and there's a tie for the other two for mine, and that'd be probably three, I guess, or four. Actually, it's four. It's hard to go past Michael Aish, Neville Roberts, Keith Thomas, and Gary McIntosh. I mean, those blokes. I mean, Neville and Neville played for Richmond, of course, and we all know Gary should have and could have if he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and Keithy, of course, had some time at Fitzroy and cut his teeth beautifully there. And who else did I say?
What about Woodville Wise and that side
Woody
of things,
Wise,
mate?
A standout for mine because I was standing up the other end was definitely Stephen Nicholls as a forward. And then, of course, Alan Jakovich was an absolute freak. He could kick him from anywhere. And just could turn on a dime, and it was a nightmare to stand. And when we had practice matches at training, it was a nightmare. So I felt for my colleagues up the end trying to keep him under control. Well, we also had Ralphie Sewer and Kevy Harris was a juggernaut when we were going well in '86 and so forth. So I've had some play with some fantastic players. Richard Champion went on and did well at up north with Brisbane, of course.
Yep.
And of course, back in my Melbourne days, I said Robbie Flower was probably the number one, and Jared Healy was he debuted the same year as me in 78. And I also played, I'll say he's one of the greatest, but one of the most interesting characters, of course, was Mark Jackson. Yes. I played five of my six games next in the forward pocket, standing next to him. So,
geez, that would have been interesting.
All he kept saying was, "Dizzy, get out of my way." Yeah. You know? Yes. Yeah, so he was an interesting. I actually played the day he did the handstand and the donkey kick with Kelvin Moore.
Kelvin Moore, yeah.
I think that was at Princess Park for memory. And so there's been some characters along the way. So,
it's
been a great journey.
Just to finish us off, mate, we'll get you out of here on this one. You've obviously played under some great coaches. I know you probably can't pick one of favourite, but maybe three of the favourite coaches that you've played under.
Well, yeah, favourite coaches, yeah. Look, they've all had their pluses, of course, and they're all true champion coaches in their own right. It's hard to, really difficult, probably for mine, because I had probably Blighty and Russell for mine, I guess, because I played most of my senior footy under those guys and seemed to gel and feel, you know, at the end of the day, coaching is, you know, a difficult thing. And as a player, if you feel comfortable under a coach, you're going to perform better. And, you know, for whatever reason, you don't feel that comfortable under others, that affects you mentally, I think. So, so they're probably Blighty and
I reckon you better give Roach here. You better give Roach your mention, otherwise he'll bloody be ringing. He'll ring me and abuse me for not, yeah, him bringing up. And Gav Lauder, Court Gav Lauder. Yes, you had the reunion of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great day. Yeah, we had a reasonable contingent of our 94 premiership side, and Roachie was there, of course. And he certainly ran a tight ship, and which you needed to at Kilburn in those days. Trust me. So he was a fabulous coach. And
umpiring in front of the mound men is one of my most interesting experiences ever in sport. Desi, yes.
Going on the pub crawl after the premiership win was mine with the
Mount Men. Jeez, yeah, I don't reckon I would have survived that one.
Or one or two of them. Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah, no, they were good days for sure.
Hey, say hello to your son as well. Say hello to Rain. Yes. Always enjoyed Lorraine's photos for your trips away. Kept us all entertained. So especially the Lord's ones, etc. So yeah, all the best, mate. Greatly appreciated, Des.
No worries, Malcolm, and thanks, Peter. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
Catch up soon. Thanks, Des.
Thanks, boys. Cheers, Malcolm.
And we thank Des there for his time, and in particular the Woodville Premiership in 1988. They're one of the last successes for the Woodville Football Club, but against the old enemy of Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and Ian Detman sort of leads that charge with making sure that's celebrated. And trust me, there's one thing Ian Detman's good at. It's
celebrating.
It's celebrating. It's dead-o's a gun.
Certainly going back over some of the footage and watching some of it, because you do get with this past players, past legends segment, you get an opportunity to go back and watch some of the football. Unbelievable. You know, footy park back in the day, night football.
It was incredible. It was 30-odd thousand for a pre-season game on the Tuesday night. When Woodville got in that situation, everyone jumped aboard.
Yep.
Yeah, that was extraordinary.
Fantastic. We thank Des once again for his time and look forward to catching up with him at a past players, past function somewhere in the future.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.